Let me read from Matthew 18, of course, this beautiful portion of Scripture that I think has become one of my favorite and I think probably very dear to the heart of most of the folks that are here and have been here for some time. This portion of Scripture where we see Jesus speaking about children. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. It's interesting. At times we saw that the disciples discussed this matter. Sometimes they argued about it. You know, all of us men have to deal with the sin of pride. Can I get an amen there? Don't leave me up here by myself. It's not just a few. Oh, well, that's some people's sin. That's not mine. Well, thank you for just showing us that it was. Because we all deal with that. And always worried about the greatest. Who's the greatest this? Who's the greatest that? Preacher, who's the greatest Sunday school teacher I have? Who's the greatest soloist in the church? Who's the greatest or the best at the piano? It seems like men are always caught up in that. You don't find Jesus getting caught up in that at all. You know, Jesus Christ, here's a really interesting thought. If you want to just do a little Bible study, and I did this 2 weeks ago just for my own benefit, I'm probably never going to preach on it, but I just took the word greatest and looked at it in the Bible, and here's what's so interesting. God, who is the greatest, anybody want to argue that? Hardly ever talks about it. It's always men who are not the greatest that want to bring up the subject of greatness. And so Jesus has a unique way of kind of hitting a reset button and humbling, I think, his disciples a little bit here. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So first thing he said was, they're worried about who's greatest. He's just saying, what you ought to be worried about is just making sure you're getting in. He said, let's talk about that first. You know, humility, folks, is a prerequisite to salvation. Come on now. I mean, someone who's too proud to admit they're sinners will never be saved. And so this sin of pride he's trying to deal with here, first thing he wants to remind them of is, listen, if you're not careful, the very sin you're committing, this matter of pride, is going to keep you from the kingdom of heaven. Why is it that some men fall under conviction and will not walk an aisle and be saved? Pride. Why sometimes in past years have I stood and witnessed to someone and saw someone genuinely under conviction on soul winning and yet have some friends standing there, maybe a teenage situation, two or three, and you know what, you can tell one of them wants to be saved, but they don't want to do it. Pride. Worried about what their friends, pride. And so the first thing Jesus has to deal with is this matter of just being saved. Then verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Let's pray together and we'll talk about this matter of the importance of reaching children. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to spend some time just preparing our hearts for the week ahead. And Lord, I want to enlist the help of this combined Sunday school class, Lord. And so I pray that we'd look at the scriptures and first of all have our hearts stirred and then be open and willing to commit to be whatever help we can be throughout this week. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how many of you were able to, because of your schedule, attend the wedding this past Friday at 6 o'clock last Friday evening. We were able to see two of our young people. We witnessed them. We witnessed them commit matrimony. Yeah, right in front of everybody. They committed matrimony. And what a sweet, sweet wedding it was. And I shared with the people just a brief, really a brief abbreviated account of their salvation and how they were reached here. And but I felt like this. I felt like for every bus worker and every children's worker in our church, last Friday was a payday. Last Friday was a payday. Jesse McCammon was picked up on a red and white bus in Duggar, Indiana when he was 9 years old. Didn't attend here. attended another church, kind of a liberal church, but came here and rode the bus as a 9-year-old boy, vacation Bible school. Came for 5 days. On the fourth day, having heard the preaching of the word for 4 straight days, came under conviction, walked an aisle, and received Jesus as his Savior. After that, he didn't come back. Just came to vacation Bible school. Didn't come back until he was 15 years of age. He began to come back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But what God did in his heart as a 9-year-old young man, and that Holy Spirit that was gifted to him upon salvation, when he came back and got under the preaching of the Bible, that was energized, and his spiritual life began to take off. And at 15 years of age, he made his way back here. Heather, I asked her, tell me how you were saved. She said, I was saved in children's church. Rode a bus. We'd started a route down in Pleasantville. Sounds like a long way away, doesn't it? Pleasantville. Oh, preacher, that's just a little town, probably not that many kids. Well, we pulled quite a few out of there, and Heather was one of them. And Heather came and went to children's church. And John Reiser was, Brother John here today, John Reiser was preaching in children's church in those days. And she told me that day he preached a message on hell. I'd been coming for a while to church, so I'd been under the preaching of the word of God, preached a message on hell, came under conviction. She said one of our teenagers at that time, walked out with her and sat down in our gymnasium on the steps. One of these days, we're going to figure out how many kids have got saved on those steps right there, leading up to the, you know, those steep steps that probably are illegal. They're so steep, have sat there and had their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life while they cried out to God right there on those steps. One of our teenage helpers, just, I'll volunteer, I'll help. I'll go out there and help in children's church. I know how to win somebody to Christ. And here's a little girl under conviction, and somebody took a Bible and took her down to Romans Road, and she prayed and was sweetly saved. And, I understand this, and I think anybody that's got a realistic view of it, I don't try to make this what it isn't. We spend a lot of money on bus ministry. We spend a lot of money on children's ministries. And sometimes from a earthly standpoint, it seems like that there's not nearly as many long-term results as we would like to see. I think that heaven's going to be populated with a lot of young people that came and got saved through the bus ministry and children's church and VBS, and maybe later on we weren't there to see the fruits of that later on in their life. But I felt like that last Friday, here was a young man waiting on the platform for the precious, pure young lady coming down the aisle, and they had gotten saved here, both of them, through the children's ministry and the bus ministry here of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Folks, maybe that happening the Friday before VBS was ordained of the Lord, and maybe we just needed that to realize this is big league stuff. This is important stuff, and you just don't know. Both those young people are in Bible college. They'll be finishing up. Heather's got one semester left. Brother Jesse has about two, maybe two, maybe three semesters left. But you know what? Preparing to serve the Lord. Surrendered to preach. A young preacher and a young preacher's wife. And I just had to sit here and just rejoice and praise the Lord. And I felt like, thank you, Lord. We need to be reminded from time to time that all of the money spent's worth it. Their kindergarten teacher, just share this with you, a lady that came to attend the wedding was both Heather and Jesse's kindergarten teacher from over in Duggar, a public school teacher. She said, not only did I teach in both kindergarten, but when they were in high school, they have a program over there where if the kids are on a certain track, they can volunteer and they go back into the elementary school and help in certain one of the classes and gain credit for it. We do a similar thing in our school here. And both of them had been back in her class later on in high school to help her in her kindergarten class with under kindergarten students. And she said this to me. She said, Pastor Ross, I want to share something with you. She said, every Monday, we have what we call Monday News Day. And I think that's what she called it, Monday News Day. And she said, we start the class by having the young people, the kindergartners, All of them's got to stand up and tell about some piece of news, something that's happened in their family, something they did this past weekend, just some piece of news. And she said, without fail, every single week, there will be somebody in my class that'll stand up and say, yesterday I got on the church bus, big red church bus, and went to Sunday school, and that's what I did over the weekend. And she said, it took me a while to figure out and connect all of their testimony with your ministry, and I realized this was the church that all of them, that they were going to. And I thought, what a blessing that was, you know. And she said this, and this is what she said. Now, public school kindergarten teacher looked at me and said, Pastor Ross, you need to let your people know that all of the money, and I can't imagine what it would be for you to all these years run these buses. If those two right there are all you got out of it, it's worth every penny. That's what she said to me. And I said, praise God, I'm going to tell our people that. Amen. And you know what I got to say? Amen. Amen. And so this is what we have going on around here, folks. Don't diminish it in your mind. Don't let some critic poison your heart. Okay, there's always going to be the naysayers. They're a dime a dozen. They're great at talking and usually not much good at doing. But you know what? We don't worry about that, do we? We stay the course. We invest in what we invest in. We work for what we work for. And we're going to do the best we can to get the gospel to children. Now, in Philippians 2:15, God presents to each of us quite a challenge. I'll just quote this verse to you, okay? It's a noble challenge. The verse reads this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, we're instructed in this verse to learn how Jesus thinks and then make sure that our thinking matches his thinking. We are to study, to learn, to examine, to mimic the thinking patterns of Jesus Christ. If we do so, soon we'll operate on his philosophies. Our life view or view of life will come from his perspectives, and eventually we'll assess our priorities based on what he thinks is important. One of the most interesting studies we can conduct is to study the parts of the Bible that deals with Jesus and his mindset towards children. And of course, what we read this morning, Matthew chapter 18, gives us great insight in Jesus Christ and how he viewed what he referred to as the lambs of his flock. Remember Peter's encounter with Jesus? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? He had three answers after he said, yes, yes, I do. Thou knowest, I do. He said, number one, feed my lambs. Number two, feed my sheep. Number three, feed my sheep. Isn't it interesting that the first command that he gave him, the very first one, when he said, do you love me? Yes, I do. Go feed my lambs. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. They're important to Christ. We see Christ tried to teach his disciples to have a proper view of children. And I want to just point out a few things out of this portion of Scripture, do a little bit of Bible study, and then I'm going to take the last two or three minutes and just ask you to help us this week with our vacation Bible school. Number one, Jesus elevated children as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Every once in a while, we'll have, most churches do, have a little bit of problem or a little bit of contention. Here's what the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. And somebody feels like they're not getting enough attention. Let me just help you with this, okay? Senior saints, sorry, you're not the most important here. Just let it sink in, be good for you. Be good for us to jump off our pedestal a little bit. No, not according to Jesus. Parents, sorry, not you either. Middle age, nope. Mm-mm. Teens, sorry. I view teenagers not as children. I view them as young men, young ladies. He said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called, the Bible says, a little child unto him. A little child. And Jesus elevated children as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, if we adopt a Christian view of children, then here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we'll understand that ministering to children should be top priority. Top priority. You get a church that starts saying, every little group starts saying, why don't they do more for me and us? And you're going to have a church with problems. You've got an inward view, not an outward view. Stop worrying about you and start worrying about a lost and dying world. Stop worrying about, well, they spend an awful lot of money on that bus service. They spend half the money on what? Something you want? Something for you? See, that's where carnality creeps in, pride creeps in. All of a sudden, this philosophy, last day philosophy, perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of little children, wanting them to get saved. Is that what the last day sin is? No. Lovers of their own selves. And so ministering, reaching children with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't apologize for it. It's part of our church philosophy. It's a biblical philosophy as we go hard after children. They're top priority. You've heard me say this, but I hear churches talking about that reaching the next generation, important of reaching the next generation. Talk all they can. I always say this, follow the money. Follow the money. You know, a lot of people talk about it. Very few people really shell out the money to do it. Thank you, church. I mean this. Thank you. You astound, and I'm going to say this because I hear it. I'm out there all the time. You astound this community. People cannot figure out how in the world we can buy just about every year or every other year. Probably about every other year we buy a bus. We're getting ready. I think the Lord kind of worked out something this week. We had a line on one bus. We weren't well happy with the price or the bus. I had a call out trying to track down another bus. Didn't hear back from the guy. Thought he wasn't going to sell it. And we were just about had to make a decision on this one. My phone rang. And a guy that owns his own bus and drives for the Bloomfield Corporation called me up. I've tried to build relationships with private drivers and school corporations and we do everything we can try to get the best deal possible. And hey, Pastor Ross, I'm going to get rid of my bus. And I said, you've sold us one before. And I said, thank you for calling me back. Yeah, I couldn't decide, but I think I am. I'm going to upgrade, so I definitely decided I'm going to sell it. And I asked him the price, and it was the other one they wanted, I think, around $4,200 for that we were thinking about getting. This person wants $2,700 for his money. By the way, another man that told me, I was raised in church. I'm not going to lie to you, preacher. I don't go anymore. I should. I'm a believer. I don't go like I should. But he said this. He said, I could get more money for this bus than what I'm asking. But he said, are you looking at me? But he said this. He said, the thought of that bus being painted red and white and used every Sunday to pick up children and take them to church, that's why every time I have a bus for sale, I call you. I like it when Blessed Hope Baptist Church buys my bus. And I told him the last time I bought one from him, I said, he said, I've got another guy offering me more money for it, honestly, than what I'm asking you for. And he said he'll cut the sides out of it, and he'll take it down here and pick melons with it. And he said, I could get more money, but I kept thinking, you know what? I can have them fill it up with melons for a season a year, or I can have them fill it up with children every Sunday. I told him, I said, I told him this on the phone the other day. I said, when you sold me that last bus, I made a promise to you. I said, as fast as we can, I will have this bus sanded down, repainted, and every single Sunday, when you get up on a Sunday morning, you're going to know that bus is picking children up. And I told him, we sanded it, we got it painted as quick as possible, we got it on the road, and every Sunday since you sold me that bus and I got it painted, we've picked up children, except for maybe 1 or 2 weeks where the weather just wouldn't let us run the buses. And let's just decide now, let's just keep doing this. Brother Jerry, the price of gas. Yeah, I know, but it went down. It's what down to about, what, $2 now? I think it's $2 a gallon. And that's what it should be, by the way. I am not kidding. I won't get into that, but I promise you, gas should not be over $2 a gallon. We won't even go there. But that's okay. That's okay. Greed, 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 you know. But that's what it is. It's what we deal with. But you know what? I kind of like this song. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. You know, how do you, people say, you know, preacher, I mean it. People in the community say, I don't get this church, you know. How in the world can you buy a bus? How in the world do you afford the fuel for 5 buses and a van every week? And folks, that's not in counting the fuel costs that come out of the pockets of God's people. I mean, Brother John went visiting yesterday, and other people in here, Brother Chad went visiting. You know what? They drove their vehicle to their bus route and drove all over that bus route and then drove home, and they don't turn in a gas slip on that. Now, let me tell you something, folks. You know why? Because it's not just mouth service. It's just not a mental acknowledgement of what we ought to do. It's a heart thing. If we ever lose that heart for the things I'm talking about right now, you might as well just go ahead and take the sign down and put a tombstone where the sign is and write the name of the church on it. I say to parents every once in a while, I say, you know, kids, they got a selfish kid, got a self-absorbed kid. Preacher, what do I do about it? The kid's just selfish. I'll say, put them on a bus route. Put them on a bus route. Just like that, put them on a bus route. They need to start losing their life in somebody but themselves. They need to walk in some homes and look around and realize, you know what, maybe I don't have it so bad after all. Sitting around crying and whining and complaining about, I don't have this, oh, there's not there, this isn't fair. Oh, stop it. You know what, you need to get out in the bus ministry. You need to realize how blessed you are to be raised in a Christian home. And come to a good church and found out about Jesus at a young age. And you get involved in some of these lives of some of these kids, and you get past the surface, and you really get in and get to know these kids and some of them, what they're going through and what they face every day of their life. You'll clap your hands and click your heels and weep tears as you walk up the steps and say, thank God for the life God gave me. And I mean that. We need to get more of our young people in the bus ministry. Pour your life into some little girl around here. Pour your life in some little boy around here. I mean, pour your life into them. And we not only have people involved in the bus ministry picking kids up, but we also have a whole army of people waiting so that when they walk in the door, those same bus kids can be ministered to while they're here on this property. And folks, listen to me. That's just as important as what the bus workers are doing. We've got to have people ready to go, and we've got to have them. I'm going on and on about this, but I had a church, and I could tell you which church. I won't, but about 6 years ago, a local church, a Baptist church, not an independent fundamental Baptist church, but a Baptist church, called me one day, a couple of the men, and said, we're thinking about buying a bus, getting into the bus ministry, and could we come down and talk to you? And I said, sure, absolutely. I'm here. You can come down and talk to me. And so they came, and they sat, and they asked a lot of questions, and we're figuring out the money, and trying to figure out the finances, and I gave them as much information as I can. And they asked me a real interesting question. They said, you've done it for years, the church here has done it for years, done it successfully. What is it? There's just a key to it. What is the key to it? And I told them this. I said, you know what? If you don't end up having a bus ministry, it won't be because of the cost of a bus. You can find one. It won't be because you can't find somebody to paint it, because you'll work it out. It won't be because you can't afford the fuel, because if you decide to and the people get a heart, you can afford the fuel. I said, let me tell you the number one reason that people think they want a bus ministry, but then the bus ministry doesn't make it. It dies and it doesn't go forward. I said, the one key ingredient is this. You've got to have somebody that has enough of a heart to change their entire weekend schedule to make sure that those kids get visited, picked up, and brought home safely. And you have to have a crew of people waiting once the kids get there that care enough to turn their Sunday morning upside down to minister to those children. And I said, if you do not have a bus ministry, bottom line is, that will be why. And you know what? I got feedback a little bit later on that they had considered it and they had talked about it. They discussed it in a business meeting. They voted not to get into the bus ministry. And it wasn't the money. I promise you, it wasn't the finances. You know what it was? There's got to be people. Listen, folks, authentic Christianity doesn't sit around all dutered up and dressed up and slicked down talking about what ought to be done. Authentic Christianity rolls up its sleeves and gets busy and goes after it. And there's a handful of you around. I mean this. This could help you. This could change your life. I don't say that from... This could change your life. Some of you younger ones, some of you 20-something, sitting around, and honestly, you're just sitting. You know, you're just kind of sitting around. You're just kind of, you wander in, wander out. God bless you. I love you. Keep coming. I want you here. But at some point, something bigger than you has to take over in your life. Something greater than you has to possess you. And it's a wonderful thing when that happens. Jesus elevated children as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Number two, Christ believed that children could and should be converted. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I think one of the saddest things that's being said, and it's creeping into our independent fundamental Baptist churches, this whole idea that children can't be saved. It is. It's a wicked thing. Children, listen, I want to make this public proclamation based on the Word of God. Children can and should be won to Christ on a regular basis here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If they are not, we are not doing our job. If they are not, we are not doing our job. D.L. Moody, there's a story told about him. I assume it's true. He was out soul winning. When he came back, someone asked him, did anyone get saved? He said, I saw 1.5 saved today. He said, they answered back, so you saw an adult and a child saved. He said, no, I saw a child and an adult. You win an adult to Christ, you have about half of a life that can be lived for him. You win a child to Christ, you have a whole life that could be lived for him. I like that. See, well, some people say children need to become more like adults before they can be saved. Well, look at the verse there. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. No, the honest truth is, children don't have to become adult-like to get saved. Adults have to become childlike to get saved. Amen. That's right. Simplistic faith. You know what? Just accepting what the Bible says. One of the joys of this week, and we're already claiming it by faith, but one of the joys of this week and the joys of every Vacation Bible School spring program that we've had, big day that we've had, and just our in and out regular Sundays, one of the joys of this church is watching little children being brought in from children's church, brought down the aisle, and the shine on their face and their wonderment in their heart, and be able to announce, little so-and-so here is 9 years old, come receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hey, preacher, I just don't know about that. I don't know about children being saved. Well, let me shock you. 45 years ago, the man standing in front of you as a 5-year-old boy walked the aisle of the Rock Run Baptist Church in north of Brazil, Indiana, was saved. If children can't be saved, your preacher's not. And let me say this, folks. The world is populated with full-time Christian workers that were saved as children. As children. That's an exciting thing. Say, when children get saved, preacher, what does that mean? Well, it means they'll never have to go to hell. When I see this, I see children come up, I think, you know what? The devil lost that one. That one's going to get to walk on streets of gold. That one doesn't have to burn forever in the lake of fire. And let me tell you what else it means. If the rapture happens, they're going to come with us. That's what it means. It means they'll never face the tribulation period. I know you hear me say this, but I believe that we are ministering to the tribulation generation. I do. I think that we are soul winning in the tribulation generation. I think every person that gets saved not only is spared having to spend an eternity in hell, but I think they're spared having to endure the horrors of the tribulation period. So let's just run buses. Let's have Vacation Bible School. Let's do big days. Let's do everything we can. What else does it mean? They're now indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? Construction's been ordered on a new mansion. It means there was a lot of celebrated in heaven. That's what it means. Christ triumphed, the devil lost out. And so Jesus believed children should and could be converted. Number three, Christ views every kindness towards a child as a kindness shown to him. I love verse number 5. And whoso shall receive one such little one in my name receiveth me. Now you remember that, folks. Boy, let's look right up here. Don't forget that. Oh, preacher, sometimes I tell you what I'm trying to get from point A to point B and these kids running around. Stop it. Stop. Well, preacher, they cut right in front of me sometimes. Stop it. They're kids. Should they do it? No. Are they gonna? Yes. All right. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Kids don't always wait. They're rambunctious. They're quick. I try to corral them, and we do, and It's not like we let them run crazy. Did you see the orderly fashion in which they're dismissed to Sunday school? If you walked into it, one of the people that visited, we had a person from a church several years ago come and sit in the back of EBS for 3 days. Finally, I went back. I thought it was a mother. And she said, no, they've sent me from my church. Everyone says that this is the place to come and learn how to do VBS. And so I'm a spy. She told me, I'm just telling you, I'm a spy. And I about had her arrested. I mean, if we'd have had that cannon, I'd have executed her, you know. But I said, is there anything, honestly, is there any question I can answer for you? And she said, no, preacher, I've watched. She said, I'm going to tell you what's astounding is how organized and how orderly things are. So you know we don't just let them run. But you know what, folks? Yeah, you know what? If you want a clean crib, don't have oxen. Okay, well, I went back there and the toilet was stuffed up. Yeah. I know. Probably one of our Christian school kids. Might not even been a bus kid. Might have been one of our deacons. I don't know, you know. Who knows? But yeah, you know what? Yeah, we're going to have some drywall walls nicked up and we're going to have some songbooks torn pages every once in a while. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying it's just okay. We're going to have gum. If you looked under the seat you're sitting in right now, you'd move. There's so many flavors of gum under there. And what I'm saying is this. You know what? If you want a little perfect, if you want to just build a little perfect, come in. We're all wonderful. Let's just stand and look at all of our wonderful spirituality. No, then, yeah. That's not church. That's not church. Every once in a while, one of these churches that are playing churches. I'm just dying to do this. I'm just churches that are playing churches. I want to just divert a whole busload of rambunctious kids. Tell one of our bus captains, just pull right to the front door, open the door, say, go, kids. And when they all go running into the auditorium, somebody scream, now, go ahead and have a real church. And then jump in the bus and take off. And we got a lot of little plastic players and perfect little sets up and everything. But hey, you know what? Let's just bring the kids in. Now, I've got more, but let me just, preacher, how can I help in VBS? Number one, folks, I'm not just saying this. I can tell, and I'll know Monday night, whether or not our church has been praying. Any of you that's done children's work know it's true. When you have prayer support, you know it. You feel it. Things go differently. 6 o'clock tomorrow night, by the way, if you just start about 4, because we're going to have buses leave and pick them up by 4 o'clock, just start praying. And don't quit praying until we're done at 8 o'clock. I'm not saying you have to go in some prayer closet, but I mean throughout that time period, would you just call out to God wherever you're at, ask God to bless Vacation Bible School here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Number two, all right, the reality of it, you know what? How you can help Vacation Bible School? Give an extra offering today. I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit right now if you could help us out. You realize running a week of Vacation Bible School adds a month worth of expenses running buses. All of a sudden now we're running buses for 13 months instead of 12 months. Because in 1 week we run as much as we would normally run in a month. And that's fuel and that's expense and it's everything. And so really consider that, church. Well, you're a lot more excited about praying than you were that. I mean that. Preacher, I couldn't sign up. Okay, good. Get your checkbook out. I did sign up, and I'm going to get mine out. I'm not telling you to do something I don't do every year. Let's step up, church. It would be wonderful if not only we received our regular tithes and offerings today, but we received from this church the money that would pay for a week of Vacation Bible School. That would be a great blessing to this church. Help us not to have to go backwards for a month and then try to play catch up, okay? Number three, if you can come, slip in. Well, I didn't sign up, and I probably should have. I could still use you. Come see me. And during invitation, we're going to have people that are trained and ready to deal with people. That teenager that got to win Heather to Christ, I don't know about you, but I kind of wish I was him. I kind of wish I was him. That'd be a pretty good payday for showing up and volunteering for Children's Church. I don't know who's knelt down here at an altar. I haven't the faintest idea. Jesse thought it might have been Caleb Hall. I'd want to forget that too. thought it might have been Caleb Hall. He said, you know what? I'm pretty sure it was. I don't know. I was 9 years old. I didn't know anybody here. Later on, I called and saw him and thought maybe that was the guy. But I'll tell you what, that's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good payday. You know, Caleb would have been, what, you know, junior hire, maybe freshman, something like that. Hey, come here, can you deal with this young man? You know what, went to youth training hour, learned how to be a soul winner, went to teen soul winning, learned the Romans Road. Now, that's a pretty good payday. Everything that Jesse, in his years of preaching, and if God lets him pastor and whatever he has him do, you don't think that's not going to be some of that go to the reward of, you know what, I just show up. I think there's going to be a lot of eternal rewards going on this week. Well, I've gone over. And we'll dismiss in prayer. Pray for us this week, Vacation Bible School. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do in this place. It's a wonderment that you take an imperfect preacher and imperfect people, and you bind our hearts together, and we join labor, and we pray. And dear God, even in our human frailties and weaknesses, we do the best we can do. And Lord, we plant a little and we water a little, and we're always astounded at the increase. God, thank you for using us, not because of us, but despite us, and wanting to see children saved so bad, letting have this church have a little part of it. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Bless the service that will follow, Lord, and all that will happen today. Bless the children's churches. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.